Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is Dr. Rima Labell, who I have asked to come on the show to speak about her actions regarding stopping the measles vaccinations in Nepal by writing to the Minister of Nepal, and also to bring light to HR 2232 to stop that. And she's going to explain. It's to vaccinate all children, but it's interesting how they're proceeding. I'd like her to explain that to you, as well as another action. Forced vaccination is a crime, which I couldn't agree with more. All vaccination is a crime. Certainly forced vaccination is the worst crime. However, I want to make one short announcement before I pick Dr. Rima Labell up, and that is this, that tomorrow, May 21st, there's going to be something called Red Nose Day, and it is all about fun, or so it appears. However, the charity they're raising money for, there are many charities, among them is Gavi, which is to vaccinate children. And this is very concerning, and just as with Peace One Day, where they used the word peace and the concept of peace to rush into third world countries and vaccinate over a million children in one day, this is to raise money for several organizations, among them Gavi, which vaccinates children all over the world with UNICEF and the World Health Organization, and it is a grave concern. And I don't like peace any more than I like fun being used to hurt children. Okay, so this is a mass it's disinfo if they're, you know, cloaking it in peace or cloaking it in fun. It is such a misuse of wonderful and positive things. Okay. Welcome, Dr. Rima Labell. I appreciate your coming on this program today.
Thank you so much, Sally. I'm just absolutely delighted to be here and to have this opportunity to share things with you. And at the same time that we're recording for your program, we're also going to be recording for the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, in which you will be my guest. How nice is that?
Well, well, we certainly are both show hosts, and if you want the truth, if I could only interview show hosts, I'd have the most fascinating interviews of all, because they interview all these knowledgeable people and come with all that extra knowledge.
How delightful. Well, I really am very glad to be here and appreciate so much the opportunity to talk with someone who isn't going to ask me stupid questions like, but didn't vaccines eliminate polio? No, they didn't. Didn't vaccines eliminate smallpox? No, they didn't. It's an entirely fictitious, deceptive hoax. So you know that, and I know that, and now we can get on to the real stuff.
Well, I have been telling people, you basically have a choice. You can acquire measles naturally, or you can acquire autism. You know, it's up to you. Would you kindly explain what's going on in Nepal and the action that you're taking? Because I'm really thrilled about this.
Well, thank you, Sally. Let's first focus on the fact that measles is a very small issue here. Measles has been used as a stalking horse to open up the floodgates for mandatory vaccinations. And people need to remember that we're not just talking about the vaccines that we have and that we know and that already do so much damage, but we're also talking about all of the vaccines that are in the pipeline, including, and this is very important to understand, including the behavioral vaccines, the ones that will make it impossible for you to say no to an order, the ones that will make it impossible for you to be angry. And sometimes it's very important to be angry, like when you're protecting your child from danger or from harm. So these are the behavioral vaccines that will make it impossible for you to smoke, for example, or carry out other activities that other people don't want you to behave in certain ways to do or not behave in certain ways to do. So we have well over 300 vaccines in the pipeline, and the idea is to use this terrible danger of measles. And let me point out that no child has died in the United States in more than 10 years from measles. But let me also point out that these same vaccines are causing autism and neurodegenerative disorders and Alzheimer's disease and cancer, and that seems to go unrecognized. So we have this fake epidemic, which is a nothing episode, primarily among the vaccinated, because yes, of course, the vaccinated shed the vaccines in the viral disease vaccines, and they also get the diseases. So we have this epidemic that was primarily among the vaccinated of a minor disease when people are not vaccinated, because when people are not vaccinated, it is school-age children who get measles, and it's a minor disease. But when people are vaccinated, the symptoms are shifted, and it becomes a much more serious disease because the people who get the disease are infants and are adults. And then it is a much more serious disease. But the make-believe epidemic, the Disneyland dizziness about this minor disease was used to say, oh, my goodness, everyone is at peril. Everyone has to be protected against everything. So let's suddenly have a worldwide coordinated push, which is what we're seeing, to make mandatory vaccination the rule of the day everywhere. Australia, now New Zealand rejected it, but the push was there. Europe, the United States, Canada, all over the world, countries are suddenly discovering that they need to protect everybody against everything. And, of course, what this means is that all the harms that vaccines do, and there are many, stacked up against the mythical good that they are said to do, and there are many myths, but in fact they have done nothing. I'm sure you've covered many times, Sally, on your show and elsewhere, that the infectious disease decline happened before any vaccine was introduced, because of sanitation, clean water, vegetables being available to people who lived in cities, and other compressed living situations, and that with better protein, better vegetables, hygiene, and sanitation, the diseases were going away. Now, that decline was slowed by the introduction of the vaccines, and if you go to our website, www.drrimatruthreports.com/drrimatruthreports. If you go there, you will see the graphs from the epidemiological data going back into the century before the last one, into the 19th century, that shows so clearly that it's absolutely irrefutable that vaccines don't halt the spread or halt the incidence of any infectious disease. They do, in fact, increase mortality in a lot of populations, and that takes us to Nepal. Now, we have people who have had several serious earthquakes destroy their homes, destroy their food supply, destroy their roads, destroy the organization of their society. We have people in the winter in the Himalayas living in tents or even not having tents at all, no shelters at all. And we have malnourished, highly stressed people, children and otherwise, living under highly, highly far from ideal, unideal circumstances. And suddenly, the World Health Organization, Gavi, the Bill Gates Foundation, the usual gang of negative players And I couldn't agree with you more about Red Nose Day cloaking Gavi's malfeasance in positive things. But that's what the doublethink ministry of deception people always do. They take good concepts and they change the meaning of the concept so that it serves a bad end, like sustainability, which actually means depopulation and taking away all rights from people, as in Agenda 21. But that's another issue. So these bad actors, UNICEF and so on, decided that what they needed to do was protect the children of Nepal against what? Against cholera, against typhus, against typhoid, against the filth diseases that bad sanitation and poor food and crowding and stress actually cause? No, against measles. And so they raced into Nepal with their syringes at the ready to jab a half a million children with the MMR vaccine, a highly, highly discredited, dangerous vaccine, which, as far as I'm concerned, no one should ever allow to be put into any human body for any reason. And so now they're going to protect these children against measles, mumps, and rubella, except what's going to happen is that these children are going to get measles, mumps, and rubella. And in their weakened state, they're going to get very, very sick. And they are going, even if they don't get sick, they're going to shed the virus. Now, ordinarily, a person who's vaccinated sheds the virus for approximately 21 days, unless they are immunocompromised, when they can go on shedding the virus for life. So now you have, essentially, typhoid Marys who don't get the disease, spreading the viruses, and people who actually do get the disease, spreading the virus. And now you have a vulnerable population getting inoculated with something that is going to make large numbers of them sick and is going to compromise the mental and neurological functioning of a great many of them. So we know that when you give vaccines to people who are, or to children or adults who are under extreme stress, either by being ill or malnourished or situationally stressed, we know that their adverse reaction rate increases dramatically. And that's exactly what's happening with a trivial disease, quote, prevention, which is actually meant to create a pandemic in an already vulnerable population. And then the next step is to say, oh my goodness, look how sick these people are. They need da-da-da-da, more. They need more vaccines. They need universal mandatory vaccines.
Well, I would like to recommend something. And instead of Doctors Without Borders, how about Plumbers Without
Borders? I like that very much. Now, we have asked people to tell the Minister of Health and the Minister of and the Prime Minister of Nepal, no, do not do this. And with your permission, I'd like to give the link that people can go to send a letter with a simple click of their, as I call it, their freedom mouse. Because only international pressure.
Yes, I just want to say, people who are listening to this program on Public Advocate, I have three links directly under the screen. One will take you to the Nepal petition, and the other two subjects we're going to be broaching as well. There are petitions there. All of them are from the Natural Solutions Foundation. And but Rima's going to give you a short link right now.
Thank you so much, Sally. I appreciate that very much. The short link is tinyurl.com/no-Nepal-vax. Now, you have a choice. You can either go to tinyurl.com/NoNepal, V-A-X-X, as in double cross, or NoNepalVax, V-A-X. And the reason there are two is that Sally wrote to us and said, oh, my goodness, it's not working as NoNepalVax. And so we said, sure it is. It's got two X's. And then we realized maybe other people have made the same conclusion, so we changed it and added another one. So it's NoNepalVax or NoNepalVaxx. But in any case, NoNepalVax. This is a crime against a suffering humanity, just as any other vaccine is a crime against humanity. But forced vaccinations, which is the global push of the moment, that's indescribably evil, indescribably evil. And we have another action item so that you can tell every legislator whom you have put into office and all the relevant decision makers like governors and the head of the HHS and the head of the FDA and the White House. In other words, you can send many emails all at the same time with one click, and that is tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. Now, why is that important? Because right now, both the state and the federal level of legislation in the United States can't wait to compel you and your family to be vaccinated with absolutely everything they can throw at you. And I have three questions for you. One, how do you know that what is on the label is the only thing that's in the vaccine? You don't. How do you know that it doesn't contain nanochips? You don't. How do you know that it doesn't contain infertility agents? You don't. But you can be pretty sure that it probably does. How do you know that it doesn't contain stealth viruses like CSV40 that the CDC admitted they knew contaminated 98 million Americans' courses of polio vaccine, knowing that it would cause brain and prostate and breast cancer and leukemia, knowing that this was going on, but not wanting to burden the manufacturers with additional costs of a simple single-pass filtration? How do you know that it doesn't contain other material like fetal protein? Oh, you can be sure that it does. How do you know that it doesn't contain other foreign DNA? Oh, you can be sure that it does. How do you know that it doesn't contain polysorbate 80, which is an infertility agent? Well, you can be pretty sure it does. So whether it's on the label or not, everything, and I mean everything, in that vaccine syringe is good for the depopulationists and good for the globalists and really, really bad for you.
Okay, now the next issue that we'd like to get to right now is another petition that you have, which is in regard to H.R. 2232. People don't realize how this is going to come down, and you have alerted me to this in terms of affecting the states and funding for the states who do not comply.
Okay, this is a level of insanity that fair takes one's breath away, Sally. You see, everybody and his brother and his sister and his maiden aunt Gertrude is racing to get into the act to serve their corporate masters and be the most aggressive in pushing forward this mandatory vaccination business. And by the way, I will remind your listeners who probably already know this, that the United States Supreme Court declared vaccines to be, and I quote, unavoidably unsafe. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? the Supreme Court of the United States says they're unavoidably unsafe, and so the CDC lies and says, oh, well, they're completely safe. Adverse events are very, very rare. Actually, adverse events are very, very common. And I just saw a scientific journal article yesterday saying that from the pertussis vaccine component alone, 5,300 U.S. infants died last year. Acknowledged deaths from pertussis. I don't know. If you've got a baby and it's one of those, seems to me it's 100%, not rare at all. Now, Representative Wilson is from Florida. She's famous for, she was famous for having hundreds and hundreds, some say thousands of hats. She wears a different hat every day in honor of her grandmother, who probably said, if you're that stupid, cover your head, maybe nobody will notice. That could be why she wears her hats. I don't know. But she wears a different hat every day. And she's also justifiably famous for what may be the worst and most stupid piece of legislation ever introduced into the House of Representatives, or indeed the Congress of the United States. This astonishingly idiotic piece of legislation says, among other things, that no child can attend any school, any public school, unless that child is fully vaccinated with the entire ACIP, that's the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, schedule. Now, no state requires every child to be vaccinated with the entire ACIP schedule. The ACIP schedule is a wish list for vaccine manufacturers. It is not anything practical because the number of vaccines is truly, truly astonishing. And the boosters and so on make absolutely no sense. By the way, scientifically, boosters have absolutely nothing to boost them. If you have a low response from a vaccine and you get a booster, you're going to have a low response from a vaccine within a very short time once again. It doesn't work. It's just a way of selling more vaccines. So this bill says every child has to be vaccinated with the entire ACIP schedule, and it says that there are no philosophical or religious or conscientious objections, but a child can have a medical exemption if, and I want you to put your seatbelt on, Sally, because you're going to flip upside down and fall out of your chair on this one. Once the doctor gives a certificate of exemption, the person, unspecified level, could be a high school graduate or not even, could be somebody's drunk brother-in-law, who the hell knows, that person gets to evaluate, without ever examining the child, the letter of the doctor and decide whether, you ready? Wait for this. Decide whether it meets accepted medical standards. And if it does, they can choose to accept the doctor's evaluation of the necessity for an exemption, or they can just toss that into the wastebasket and discard it based on, oh, I don't know, whatever. So this law also violates the doctor-patient confidentiality and gives some unnamed, unqualified, unspecified person the right to discard the medical judgment of a qualified, licensed physician in whether or not the child can physically, safely receive the vaccine. Of course, if I'm the doctor, no child, no adult, nobody can physically safely receive a vaccine, but that's another issue. So the doctor writes a letter, and some clerk somewhere says, hey, we get more money for every child who's vaccinated here at this school district, so I'm just going to chuck this one, and then the kid dies, for example, or becomes autistic, or develops cancer or whatever. Yeah. Oh, by the way, about measles, people who have community-acquired measles, that's measles that you get from other people, normal, regular, non-mutated measles, have a lower cancer incidence by the time they're 30, 40, and 50 years old because the measles virus actually primes the immune system to respond better when it's faced with the challenge of having to deal with cancer cells than if it has never met that virus. But it's not the vaccine virus. It's the community measles virus. So that's just a little interesting tidbit. Well, now we have this insane bill that has to be stopped, has to be stopped. This bill has no sponsors, and it will not pass. But the way these things go, this is a trial balloon. And if it gets any legs at all, as they say, and that is to say, if it does not get a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of emails that say essentially, don't you dare, then it will pass. I wonder if you would give the link to that, Sally.
I do have the link. I don't have a tiny URL link. I have a very long link underneath the, in terms of your petition, under the radio screen. Do you have a tiny URL link for that?
I do, and I do not, I'm not quite certain it's correct. So while we're talking, I'm going to ask my co-trustee to give me that tiny URL link. Please. Okay, I will type it to him right now. Please send link for, I'm on a funny keyboard. Please send link for Wilson Bill. I am not sure I recall it correctly. Okay.
Well,
and he will do that.
I would like also to bring attention to the senior advisor of Representative Wilson, if you would make mention of that.
I was having trouble hearing you. Say it again.
Yes, the senior advisor for Representative Wilson, who has sponsored H.R. 2232, is a former...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, she's a former drug rep. And so what we have is the drug reps feeding information not only to doctors as they do, but to our legislators. This is inexcusable. This woman is a public servant who is serving the private sector, as so many of our legislators do, which is why I refer to them collectively at the federal level as the spineless, gutless, worthless Congress of the United States,
you know,
which unfortunately is the only one we have.
Well, I have a bill, and it's called Vaccine Free 2015. Same bill was called Ban Vaccines 2013, and before that, all vaccines were banned back in 2009. But it has a tiny URL, and I am asking people to send it to their legislators either via my own petition or to just copy, paste it, and on a doc and hand deliver it to their legislators' home offices to be faxed therefrom to the legislative offices and find out who that legislative staffer is in Congress for your congressperson. And that is tinyurl.com/vaccinefree2015 at tinyurl.com/vaccinefree2015. And I really hope that everybody will do this because it lists the ingredients and the diseases that result and the intent to harm. And that's really all it lists. It's one page, chock filled with information. And that's all that any bill should be, one page. Now, I want to also bring everybody's attention to a resolution which has recently been passed. It's H.R. 117, which is a resolution extolling the virtues of vaccines. That's not the name of it. It's, you know, why vaccines are wonderful in the USA or something like that. But 100 people have signed on to this. Interestingly enough, not all of them Congress people. I thought that was interesting. Isn't a House resolution sponsored by Congress? But they needed 100 people to sign on. So it's mostly Congress people, but then there are people who are not Congress people who signed on to this House resolution so they could get 100 signatures. And it's all lies. It's the same deceit they've been feeding us for decades. And I've written a poem called Decades of Deceit. And it's all about the history of vaccines and the fact that they're poisonous as well. So we have got to shed and reject and respond to this deceit as what it is. And Dr. Rima, I believe you would be the perfect person to respond to this this resolution so we can shatter the deceit.
I would be very, very happy to do that. And as a matter of fact, I have put out a challenge to the pro-vax people. I have said that I will debate anyone. I will debate the Prime Minister of Australia, who doesn't vaccinate his own children because vaccines are too dangerous, but who has just pushed through an end to philosophical, religious, or other exemptions and has pushed through legislation to take away a $16,000 per year per child subsidy that every family qualifies for if the child is not fully vaccinated or, of course, dead, I suppose. I have put out the challenge to the members of Parliament who are supporting it, to members of our own Congress, to Dr. Pan, the pediatrician, the shameful pediatrician in California who turned to a drug rep when his bill was on the floor, his mandatory vaccination bill was on the floor, and he was getting some flack, and he said to her, "What do I do now?" So he's taking his marching orders on the floor of the California Senate from the drug representative. Oh my goodness, shame, oh shame. I have offered to debate Dr. Paul Offit. I will debate anyone on this issue because there is no sense and there is no science to vaccination. There is pseudoscience bought and paid for. That goes back to Jenner, who bought and paid for his medical degree from the University of Edinburgh for £25 sterling, and who published the results of his so-called experiments before he performed them, and who killed his own son and killed the child that he was continually vaccinating to show the procedure to people with. He killed them both with anaphylactic shock. Edward Jenner, who created an epidemic of normal children at birth being inoculated with syphilis because that was what they thought was the cowpox that they were dipping the needle in. And so these healthy children were dying of syphilis. In the British Empire's expansion, when they went into the tropics, they didn't have syphilis to dip needles into, syphilitic pus. So they used leprosy, and they killed untold numbers of children by inducing leprosy into infants who had immature immune systems. This is what vaccination is rooted in, pus and deceit, and it hasn't gotten any better.
That's right. That's right. Well, there was something that you mentioned I wanted to pick up on. I apologize. Sometimes I listen to people and I forget what my issue that I'd like to raise is, but you have raised so many important issues here today. This is a really valuable interview. Thank you very much, Dr. Labau. Now, I want you to be clear about how to pronounce your name because I call you Labau or Labau, and I'm not completely sure.
Labau, but most people just call me Dr. Rima. Now, let me give
Dr.
you the link. Labau. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the link. I don't have a tiny URL, but it is http://drrimatruthreports.com/, and then all of these words are separated by dashes, okay? Congress to punish states that protect vax conscientious objectors. Congress to punish states that protect vax conscientious objectors, all separated by hyphens. Now, that reminds me of what I forgot to say about Representative Frederica Wilson's stupid bill. Any state that does not punish conscientious objectors to vaccine or that allows conscientious vaccination objection will lose federal funding, like all of it. Now, this has to be the dumbest bill ever introduced. I said earlier into the House of Representatives, no, into the Congress of the United States. If anyone has any of their vaccination health freedoms left intact, that state loses all federal funding. And this for something based in pus and deceit.
Yeah. Well, this is really something. And the thing is, I have seen bills where nobody co-sponsors something, but they pass. You know, it's people don't want to let people know they are going to vote yes, so they don't co-sponsor something. So I wouldn't trust the fact that it has no co-sponsors as the fact that nobody is in support of it. So don't
let
that fool
you. Well, this is a very good point. So people need to go to drremetruthreports.com and then type in the word Wilson. That'll take you to the page where you can take the action. Now, there's another action that I urge you to take, and I urge you to take it on a daily basis, because the elected representatives, or really the selected representatives that we pay for and put in office, they don't care who opposes something. They care how many people oppose something. And so they count, or their staff counts the emails. It's as simple as that. Therefore, our emails need to be a veritable tsunami of don't you dare. So I would like it very much for your own well-being if you would please go daily to tinyurl.com/vaccination is violation. Vaccination is violation. And take that action item. And I would like to give you a gift. I would like to give everybody within the sound of Sally's voice and mine a free ebook. And that ebook is the compilation of 16 hours of Vaccine Truth Radio broadcast around the world on May 1st. All you need to do is go to another tiny URL. That's tinyurl.com/Mayday Marathon. Put your email information in, and you'll get an email back with the link to this phenomenal resource, which has not only 16 hours, and you, Sally, were a participant. Thank you so much. 16 hours of podcast. Sure you were. You were interviewed on Suzanne Pozell's show.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was so confused by how that all transpired, but continue.
But yes. It not only has these wonderful 16 podcasts, 17 actually, but it also has a bonus video section, articles, references, some extremely important information that you absolutely need. And it is not fair and balanced. It's fair because there is no balance on the other side. There is, frankly, no vaccine science that supports vaccines. There is vaccine cover-up that supports vaccines. There is vaccine deceit that supports vaccines. There are vaccine pseudoscience pieces that support vaccines. But when you dig, as Brian Hooker dug, to find out what's really going on, Brian Hooker found the deceit in the CDC that eventually led William Thompson, the CDC whistleblower, to come out of the closet and say, for 10 years, I was told by the higher-ups, the three top people in the CDC, to hide the relationship between NMR and autism in children. 10 years, he said, that is the worst and lowest moment of my life. I cannot believe I did that, and I am so sorry. Well, very nice, sorry. What about the people who died? What about the people who will die? What about the autistic children who are growing up to be autistic adults? So glad you're sorry, Dr. Thompson.
Right. Exactly.
There is no science.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sally.
I was just saying that there were 100, I don't know who wrote this article, but there were 150 measles cases this year, and 580,000 or 58,000 autistic annually. I don't know where those statistics come from, but that's
Catherine,
staggering.
Catherine Frompovich, an excellent activist and researcher and writer, wrote that in Activist Post. And it's been circulating widely, as it should. Yes, that is correct.
Other people have picked up on it but did not give her credit. Okay, well, good to know. She is wonderful. And I actually asked her if she would respond to the HRES 117, but she just published it. She didn't respond to it. I need someone to respond paragraph by paragraph to that.
I will respond.
Because it's Congress. Yeah, I need someone of authority to respond paragraph by paragraph to that, because there are it's just a whole bunch of lies, and we got to clear it up, and we have to say you can't resolve something that's a lie. No, we don't
exactly
accept it, and
exactly
here's the truth. Right.
I would like to repeat that people can have the May Day Marathon 16-hour resource ebook by simply going to tinyurl.com/Mayday Marathon, filling in your email information, and we'll be delighted to share this enormous resource.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rima Labow. Tell us, please, if you would, just give people a taste of all the wonderful experts you had included in that marathon.
Oh, absolutely. We had Sherry Tenpenny. We had Vera Scheibner. We had Tim Boland. We had three freedom attorneys talking together about our strategy using the legal structure which still remains, that which still remains, to protect ourselves, and talking about international humanitarian law, which actually trumps national law and protect your health freedom rights. We had Mike Adams, the health ranger. We had Catherine Frompovich. We had a Muslim doctor, Dr. Majid Khatme from London, who says 1.6 billion people on planet Earth who are Muslims are forbidden from receiving vaccines because it is haram, it is contaminated, it is filth, according to Muslim law. Well, that's pretty interesting. That would put a dent in Big Pharma's market, wouldn't you say? And we had just an amazing, amazing lineup of people.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the program today, Dr. Rima Labow. And my name is Sally L. Cordy. I'm running for mayor for a vaccine-free NYC. I hope you will look at my link below the screen and encourage me. How about that? Join me when we protest. Join me when we get active, because I can't do this all by myself. Nobody can. Get out to your city halls, wherever you live, and don't put up, reject vaccine tyranny. Physically, vocally, do it now.
I agree. Thank you, Sally, for being that activist that you are.
All right. All the very best to you, my friend. I appreciate your coming on the program today.
Thank you, Sally, for having me.
Bye-bye now. I don't want to get cut off. I would like to say goodbye without getting cut off. So cheerio.